Over to you then, Kay.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm actually going to say over to you in a moment. Are you the sort of people that like to tell a story of something that's happened to you during the week?
John is here.
Because I'm going to tell you one that happened this weekend. We were working with about 19 children, quite a mixed bag of children, six of them fostered with various issues, and not enough helpers and too far from the toilets. You know the sort of problems you can get. And I had to use one of our older girls, an 11-year-old, lovely Aoife, to take some of the younger girls to the toilet because they couldn't do it any other way. So she took one of our 5-year-olds to the toilet and they were gone for about 10 minutes. I couldn't figure it out until she came through the door with a rather wet-looking child and just said, "She fell down the toilet." And what had happened, the toilet seat had broken, split in two different directions, and the child just folded down the toilet.
She was a tiny 5-year-old.
So I tell a story. I love telling stories. So would somebody just like to tell me a story of something that's happened to them this week or last week? Just to prove it's not hard.
I've got a gloss on my carpet this week.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's not my little story. My child had a tantrum and yanked the extension cord, not thinking that it was behind the tub of paint, and knocked it over, and then thought, I can't deal with this, so I went to bed. And I woke up and my other son had walked through it and walked all around the house.
No.
So there you go, that's my little story.
Yes.
Yes.
That's not a way to decorate. I should put paint on them, shouldn't I? Just get them to roll on the wall.
So you can see how the story grows as you tell it.
Events happen, don't they?
I feel a story coming from that direction.
I was just thinking about Saturday. We went to our grandson's wedding. He's 23. And he's in the army, and so we get invited. So we had a bit of an adventure on the way down in the car to Woolwich, and we get to Woolwich, and we had some supper, and we thought, well, it all looks very easy that the town hall, because he was having a civil ceremony, is somewhere, and 5 minutes away, 7 minutes away from where we're staying, and then it's 5 minutes away from where they were having the reception. But to sort of in a place you've never been before. So we have fun that evening, looking around, and then we finally pinpointed everything and got our times all sorted for the morning. And the next thing we know, we get a phone call from our daughter, who apparently had been going round and around around Woolwich trying to find where the travel lodge was, because she teaches in Birmingham, and they come down late. It's just 9:15 at night. Anyway, we all go to bed and we get up and we have breakfast and we get ready, and there we were looking all gorgeous and got outside and the heavens opened.
They did on Saturday, yes. We were part of some of that.
But anyway, we finally got to the town hall and somebody forgot to tell us that we were supposed to be there, not between quarters, all seated by 10, that we were all supposed to be seated by 9:45, and nobody had let us know. So there was panic, is where were we all? And then, fine. But anyway, the sun came out, which was really nice. And as the service finished, and we all had voties, and then we all walked through the town to where the reception was, which was quite
through the middle of Woolwich Market.
Right.
This bridegroom.
You get waves and
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
People
cheering.
First time I've ever done that, but it was lovely.
Wedding procession in the middle of the market.
Anyway,
I've sort of asked people to do that just to show a point of how we have a storytelling thing that we do.
Yeah.
We all tell stories.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that as soon as you start, so everybody's looking, but you'll find the little comments that come in all over the place. And what we, I'll give the example of this last weekend, we'd be telling a story and the children would be coming in and sort of making a comment or asking a question, which we allow. Mm. But when I was growing up, you sat, you listened to the story and you weren't even allowed to ask a question and you weren't allowed to do anything. And I think with a lot of children now, they're used to this discussion sort of way with the schools. And as we're telling a story, encouraging them just to come in with things. If it's silly, then I do put a stop to it. And I will say, I love really sensible questions, but that's not really sensible, is it? And just sort of put a stop to it. And they've actually all learnt now, the children that I work with, that if I do that, that's the point where I don't want a question. But they have permission to ask it later, and we do go back to them. So it's that interactiveness that will actually capture them. But the other thing that I'm noticing as you're all telling what's happening is the look on your face. And as you're telling a story, facial expression is everything. So the eye contact. Now, if you've got children that are on the spectrum, quite often the eye contact isn't helpful. And I've heard plenty of children with autism that just say, what is this thing with staring at my eyeballs? But not all are like that.
No.
And again, with... excuse my voice, I've had a cold. The other thing is, you're actually telling the story as well with the facial expression. People say that children with autism won't get the facial expression. Mm. Again, that's only some. It's not all. So it's worth still using the facial expression, even if they don't get it. It's still worth looking in their direction, even if you're not looking straight into their eyes. But if you want to draw them into the story, always using their name. Which is all basic stuff, and I'm probably teaching you how to suck eggs at the moment. But it's that, what is your face saying? Are you excited about the story? And are you drawing the children into the story? So as soon as you said gloss paint, you draw me into the story instantly.
Lovely thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're insured, sort of. Yeah.
So quite often when you tell a story, it's the beginning. I was asked to tell the story of the resurrection at our church one Sunday morning. Ours is a very traditional FIEC church. So, you know, sort of just asking a woman to do it was a big thing on Easter Sunday. So. But I started at the back, which they weren't expecting at all. And I started speaking as Mary walking to the tomb. And then got up to the front to actually tell the rest of it. But because I hadn't just got up there and said, now I'm going to tell you a story, I'd actually got everyone from the child to the 90-year-old in the church. And somebody actually said afterwards, that sent shivers down my spine. So all of that is really, really good. Just the start. Okay, so we've got the facial expression, we've got the start. Okay, do you use props to tell a story?
Sometimes. I've been using Lego since you suggested it.
I love Lego. This last weekend, because we knew what sort of children we'd have, these are conferenced out children.
Right.
So they're conferenced out. They get dragged to conference after conference.
Oh. I'm a pastor's kid, so I know.
He knows. So we told the story, then we gave them a tray of Lego, split them into four groups and said, build the story. And they all took different parts of the story that we just told.
My favourite one, a part of the story, was Peter denying Jesus and the cock crowing, and that was the Lego model that they came up with. Go around and show that.
And for the recording, it's a rather good Lego model of a turkey.
that's no pattern or anything. There's a couple of girls came up with that.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Oh, I love that. Good. Little Lego rooster.
Very good.
Yeah.
We've used props a lot in kids' club,
yeah,
you know, over the years, but not so much on the Sunday mornings.
Yeah. Because sometimes it doesn't have to be elaborate.
Right.
Just something really simple.
Just like that. Yeah.
Any pig stories?
The Gadarene swine.
One of the children actually broke this, so this is a pig. You pull that out and it shakes in your hand.
Okay.
It's a multi-sensory toy.
Yes.
And you can actually pass the pig as you tell the story. Or if you've... I've actually got 50 pigs in our storage for a story that we did about sheep.
Okay.
So we did the story about sheep, but we hid pigs.
Oh, yes, we hid them around the room so they don't find them.
And no one asked, why were we searching for pigs when the story's about the lost sheep?
Because we couldn't find enough sheep.
But it still worked. I was waiting for the one child, because we did actually have one of these. I think I've got to see it, actually. I have a few. All my props everywhere. Here we go. Ah. We had one sheep that was hidden.
Okay.
Rather ominous noise, but
so they had to find that amongst all the pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end of the story, we had hello.
Yeah. Or there's a space in between Cliff and Coralie. So Kay's just talking to us about storytelling and using props at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
You look like you're doing something energetic.
well, I'm just still in my workplace.
You're just going there, are you? Is that?
Yes.
And after we've done the story, we always do something that actually boosts the story as well. So we've ended up with a pot full of lentils with things hidden in it.
Mm.
And they had to find all of the things hidden in it.
Like a bran tub sort of thing, but with lentils.
And they had to find all of the items, one of which was a sheep. So we're finding the sheep all over
again. It was actually
like
a big kiln ajar, so it was sealed, and they had to sort of shake it around and see if they could, rather than dive the hand in, just see what they could bring out to the edge so they could see it. You know.
So you're telling the story, you're repeating the story with something they've got to do, and then you're adding into the end the actual theme.
Yeah.
I'll add at this point that whatever you're doing with whatever theme, keep it really short. So whatever you want to bring out during that session, think three words, possibly four. And everything you do begins and ends with that or points to that. I usually have a flow chart that has a central theme there, then lots of shapes all the way around where that thing is, with arrows that point to and from. So everything connects with that theme, whatever you do.
That's for your own personal planning. Yeah.
So it just helps me to remember that that's the theme, so this is what we're going to do that actually connects with that theme. But occasionally I will throw in a game just to let them hype up some energy.
So,
has nothing to do with the theme.
So what would your theme have been for that, your four-word theme have been for the lost sheep?
God loves you.
Yeah. Okay.
Quite simple. I'm actually going to show you another way of telling this story. Because there's a lovely guy I use. In fact, I'll do that now. So, Steve, you're in charge of the pictures and I'm in charge of the words.
Exciting.
There is what is called the Lost Sheep Company from Australia, and you can buy a year's licence for a church to use any of the stuff that's on there, however you want to use it. And
Video clips, are they?
No, it's a PowerPoint to do at your own pace.
Oh, okay. PowerPoint.
But they give you instructions on how to do it if you want to do it like that, but you don't have to do it like that.
Yeah.
So it'll give you how to introduce and how to do the summary at the
end. So there's a script if you want to use it, but you can just use the pictures and do your own script. Thank you. Which side do I? This side, right.
So unfortunately, the big screen only comes up with, you won't get it any bigger because of the way it works.
Yeah.
Well. So. Oops, gone to the wrong end. What sort of animals does this man have? What do you think?
Sheep.
Not rabbits.
No.
No, it doesn't have rabbits. Giraffes?
No.
Well, he might have giraffes, but they don't get a mention in this story. Sheep. Yes, he has sheep.
Is that my cue?
Yeah.
See if this works.
100 sheep.
Hang on a minute. Where do I touch this? I'm not used to this.
I'll just do that.
Oh, all right.
Swipe.
There we go. A swipe.
100 sheep.
100 sheep. Including Cecil. Now, normally I'm doing this with a clicker,
yeah.
So I can actually work it better. One day Cecil was daydreaming. Boring, boring, boring. All I do is hang around with sheep, eat grass, wander down to the river for a bit of a drink and eat more grass. Maybe I could run away and get a motorbike. Or join a band.
Motorbike, band, yeah.
Cecil looked right. Cecil looked left. He jumped over his rock and hid. From behind the rock, he snuck behind the tree. And from behind the tree, he ran over the hills to the mountains. And then the moment, yes, the mountains. He reached the mountains and discovered they were high and they were steep. So I'm just checking where he is. Cecil was not deterred. He began climbing higher and higher. And it got steeper and steeper. He climbed and climbed until he couldn't climb up the mountain anymore. And he couldn't climb down. Cecil was stuck.
This is where you are.
Yeah. He sat on the edge of the ledge and started thinking, I could shout for help, but what will happen if the shepherd finds me? He might whack me with a big stick, then grab me by the leg and drag me home and tie me to a tree without any dinner. Back home, the shepherd was counting his sheep. 1, Terry. 2, Kevin. 3, Bronwyn. 4, Lucinda. 96, Meredith. 97, the other Meredith. 98, Amir. 99, Amelie. Cecil's missing. Shocked face. The shepherd ran to the rock and found hoof prints leading behind the tree. He ran behind the tree, found hoof prints leading over the hills. To the mountains. Yes, the mountains. The mountains were high and steep. The shepherd climbed higher and higher. It got steeper and steeper. When he thought he couldn't climb any further and wasn't sure if he could climb back down, he heard a noise. Meh. Oops. Cecil was saved. What did the shepherd do? Did he whack Cecil with a big stick?
No.
Did he grab Cecil by the leg and drag him down the mountain?
No.
He was so glad that he found his lost sheep that he put Cecil on his shoulders and carried him home. When they got home, did the shepherd tie Cecil to a tree without any dinner?
No.
Cecil's
no.
Dinner.
I have actually had a child say
yes.
Something similar.
Requires Uncle Cliff.
They actually threw a huge party. Actually, sometimes I do throw something like that in just to wake
yeah,
the kids
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And everyone stayed up way past their bedtime. The story goes on. Now, the story actually started, and I didn't do this bit, by asking the children, have you got a pet? What have you got? How much do you love it? Is it this much? This much? This much or this much? And they always end up saying this much. So at the end of the story, you explain about God, the shepherd loved the sheep. How much did he love Cecil? This much, this much, this much, that much. So how much does God love you? because he's going to seek you out even if you're the only one missing. Does he love you this much? This much? This much? Oh, this much? And one of the camps we did that on, they said, actually, it's all the campers end to end this much doing that. So they did it around the room and said even that wasn't enough. So I think they got the story. So if you look up Cecil the Lost Sheep online, I think it's about £53 for a year subscription to use anything that's on there, and there's tons of stories.
Yeah.
So
they're all PowerPoint based.
Yes, yeah. All
okay.
of them.
Okay.
So, and there are worksheets that you can use with them if you really want to. Watch out for a couple of them because they're. Let's just say I printed one off and went to look for the words and none of them were in there because he'd used the wrong one.
Oh,
or his
yes.
printers had put the wrong one in.
Yeah, I think he sorted that now. But
I hope so, but do double check before you give them out
yeah.
to the kids or else there might be a riot.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we use. And because of the cartoons, they're ageless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can use them with kids with learning disabilities with the words slightly changed. And they still work, and they don't feel babyish.
Mm.
So I like them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good.
A few more ideas. Have you ever tried getting the kids to do actions to stories?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of acting out, I remember acting out the four friends who took the paralysed man to Jesus.
Mm.
So we acted that around the room.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Bob Hartman's stories.
We've got one book by him, which
yeah.
I think Jonathan used one of his stories.
A lot of those have got interactive stuff with them, getting different groups to make different noises or do different
mm.
things.
Having trigger words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a master at that. So.
Well, it depends on your kids how many trigger words
yeah.
to use.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We do Daniel in the Lion's Den.
Yeah.
We have set actions that we use, but Steve puts extra silly ones in.
Hmm.
Which the grown-ups that watch us go, but that's surely putting the children off. But the children will come back a year later and tell us the story with the actions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not put them off, they're taking it in
yeah.
at the same time because it's fun. So we'll do, you know, Daniel was a very clever man.
Yes, very clever man, stroke your beard
yeah.
like that.
And you talk about the other guys that were really jealous.
Because Daniel was a favourite
of
the
king. So we use all of those words. So when I get to the point where all of the really jealous men that were jealous of the very clever Daniel because he was a favourite of the king and the kids are doing the actions, I keep repeating that phrase all the way through.
Yeah.
So the kids get it, and sometimes with some groups I've actually started to say the phrase with me.
Yeah.
Even if they're not doing the actions, they're saying the phrase. Then I say, you know, can they actually get to Daniel on anything? Has he ever done anything wrong? Has he ever stolen anything? Then Steve goes...
Well, I sort of pretend I'm stealing something and sneaking out. But it wasn't an action that was planned originally, you know.
Yeah.
So,
so depending on my theme, there was
yeah.
one time when I was saying dare to be different. And that was the theme of the day, dare to be different. So I'd stop and say, that's not an action. You're not really doing it right. You're not being sensible. You need to dare to be different.
But Kay and I are so used to working together. There was once when she said, and so, and I thought, I can't resist this. So I went like that. And the kids thought it was really great. But they remember the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the bit where they throw Daniel into the lion's den. A big hole in the ground is what we describe it as. And then he's sealed in there with a big stone over the top. And as soon as I said, and they sealed him in.
I went, oh.
So there's just little things that are nothing to do with the story,
yeah.
but it helps to lodge the story in the brain.
Yeah.
And even if they're not doing the actions, that doesn't matter. As long as somebody else is being stupid with them, it's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And we never make the kids do it. There's usually enough of them round them to actually see them enjoying it, but the ones that don't do it by the end are joining in.
Yeah.
But we never make it a mandatory thing.
Yeah.
So I like using things, if we're telling a story about a king, this is inflatable, but it does go down rather quickly.
An inflatable crown.
Yeah. So there's a couple of stories where you've got a couple of kings that are in the story. So we have two different coloured ones and we swap them around. So I've had Steve in an assembly swapping from a crown to a hat, an army hat.
Yeah.
And just swapping through them as we told the story because he's a different person each time. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to use a different hat if you're trying to get different people in the story. Because some of the stories are very fast moving. If you're talking about Elijah in the house with his servants where the angel armies surround the house. Mm-hmm. So you've got the army guards that come there. And all of the conversations that are happening are really difficult to follow because it's constantly moving. So using the hats is actually quite helpful.
Hmm.
Anybody use voices? If you've done that with your own kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting on different voices for different characters is fun.
So in that story, we've got... I'll go to the New Testament now. If you actually look at how everything happens on the map, Nazareth is in the north, or Galilee is in the north. So
yeah.
the disciples are always given a northern accent. But Jerusalem's in the south, so we give them a southern accent.
So
it's another way of differentiating between one and the other if you're good at accents.
Yeah.
I'm just fortunate that Steve is really good at accents and he can put on a really posh one for the army guards and that sort of thing.
It was the fact my dad was a pastor, we got dragged around to different areas of the country at different times, so I started with a Northern Ireland accent, then we moved to Barking. And you don't keep a Northern Ireland accent for very long if you live in Barking. Then we moved to Hull, which I discovered is called Ull when you get there. And then we moved back down to Leicester and I kind of stayed in the middle there. But it's meant that I've got an ear for different accents, which one of the things that we use, we haven't brought any with us, but is puppets. I'm a ventriloquist, so I have lots of large puppets with very different accents. Which is quite fun, or a small puppet. It hasn't got a mouth, but we'll use in assemblies, when we go into school assemblies, we are allowed to tell Bible stories, which is great. So Kay will tell a Bible story, and then we will use a puppet to anchor the Bible story in a sort of an everyday event that the kids might come across. So if the story is about Jesus forgiving Peter, for example, we will then have a story where one of the puppets forgave another puppet for something they'd done, and it kind of anchors it to where they are. But I haven't brought the puppets. Maybe another time we can do a puppet thing, but haven't brought
those
with
me.
Anybody used puppets?
I've seen it. In a couple of churches we've been in, they had puppet shows. And
I mean, you don't have to be a ventriloquist. You can use a pre-recorded thing and
whisper. Hide
behind a screen, or the puppet whisper to you and you say... But when Kay was a nurse many years ago, she used a puppet to get the children to do what she wanted them to do as a nurse, and found them a very powerful tool. So then we went on to doing Bible stories and stuff. I thought, oh, this is rather good, so I got involved in it, and eventually did the ventriloquism stuff. So
only because he wanted to go one better than me.
Aaron loves teddies, so maybe you could use teddies.
Yeah.
And
you can get.
I make Robert's teddies talk to him.
Yes.
He thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah.
We have whole conversations and arguments sometimes at bedtime. The teddies do. But it's good fun.
Yeah, Aaron's one of his particular things is teddies. So
yeah.
And they're like his little safety zone.
Yeah.
It might help when
like
he's trying to hide under tables and things.
Would you like them to talk though or not? Or
I'm not sure, we haven't really... He talks with them, and there's little conversations between them and stuff.
I don't have a puppet teddy. You can get a puppet teddy, actually.
Have
you? Oh,
yeah.
Well, the big... Yeah.
The library bear.
Yes.
No, I've got the little one.
Yes.
There's one that One Way UK make.
I've heard of them, they do
lots
of puppet ministry.
They've got
the
little one that I had with the little round glasses on.
Yes, yeah.
So
you can get them, and you can. You don't have to give them the voice. They can whisper to you, and you relate what the puppet has said.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So just pulling up on a couple of the things that you said there, one thing I help with some children. They don't like the wide open space. So even this weekend, because we've got some children that felt a bit unsafe occasionally, we actually put them under the tables.
Yeah, we can see them.
They're fine.
Okay, everybody under the table, and we'll tell the story under the table. And sometimes, yeah, build a blanket fort and tell the the story in there, especially if you're...
Yeah,
that's the same with Aaron.
Yeah. So if you're doing Jericho, so you're in your blanket fort, you can actually yell and everything falls over.
So a
few ideas there. It's just thinking outside the box sometimes and using imagination, because... What I found out with my upbringing in church, it's been, you do it like that at church, you do it like that at home, and never the two meet. And sometimes we need to bring the storytelling techniques at bedtime at home into the church. And it works an awful lot better. As long as we're getting a simple message from the story, following it up with something that's fun afterwards, then it's job done. Sometimes we try and overthink it. Especially if all of the kids are getting teaching at home, what you're doing is only supporting what happens at home. You're not the main providers of the spiritual nurture, the home is. So I gathered from the conversation that we had that that is the case here. If it's all evangelistic work that you're doing on a Sunday, then it's slightly different. But this is... I'm just going to show you some of the things I've used just to try and spark things. So most people have got one of these hanging around somewhere if they've done art. Anybody got one?
They got two.
Yeah. So sometimes if you're doing, especially one-to-one storytelling, where the child can actually pose the character all the way through the story.
So you let them pose it
while
you're telling it.
Yeah. And occasionally it works, sometimes it falls flat on its face. It depends on the child. You've just got to trial and error. Finger puppets I do use with younger.
What sort of age?
Probably under 7, depending on the child.
Yeah.
Especially if you can get them to sort of do the movements with it as you're telling the story.
Yes. I think we tend to go to sort of cognitive stage rather than age because it can vary hugely.
Yeah. True.
So getting a feel for your kids, you know where they're at.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing ideas at you to see if they actually fit. Actually, this isn't storytelling. I'll come back to them later. But we had one child that was absolutely fixated on these for a whole hour.
Some bubble sticks.
Yeah, just with all the different
glitters
and colours and that sort of thing.
Well, it's a sort of a way of, like a fiddle toy, really. If I start that one that way and that one that way.
It's like Freya at school, she has to play with putty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kane does blue tack at school.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Putty. Modelling Play-Doh.
Plasticine. I used Play-Doh last Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them really liked it, some of them didn't. Yeah,
yeah. It's that sort of, some prefer the Lego, some prefer this.
Mm.
So some of the stuff that we do, we have girls that just love and they're begging for the...
You have to watch Kane because he's been known to eat it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He didn't eat it. So
it's a specific hero.
Yeah.
I never eat it.
Specific hero are quite useful. So Thomas doesn't like squidgy stuff.
Right,
slimy
stuff.
Likes the Lego, likes the other thing.
Kane never used to, not Kane, Kane loves mess,
but
Aaron never used to like the more messy play as well. But I think he's coming round to that a bit more now.
It does.
After the painting, didn't he?
He's experimenting with it.
A turning point in his life.
That reminds me, when I was... think you sent me an email, Kay, and it, one of the things is like an A4 sheet for parents or carers to fill in about what their child likes, what their child doesn't like.
Yeah.
If they're if they're upset, how this works. If they're not, so we can.
The tube, the glue, the tube, and then you've got the scent.
It's good to know. Especially in that. The assumption is quite often that all children on the spectrum or with any sort of struggles like anything that's sensory, but actually they don't, and proving the case that you know it's got to be solid, it's got to be fixed. So a colleague of mine quite often takes a lot of things out with him that are all squidgy, and even I don't like putting my hands in it. I'd much rather be building Lego.
Yeah.
So every child is completely different.
You have to watch Kane as well with things like that, that he doesn't hit other children.
Well, yes.
We did stop a sword fight with them.
Yeah.
I see lightsaber.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, a glittery lightsaber. And the way we use these, I actually use them as a prayer activity. So Samuel listens to God, he hears God shouting out, and we're teaching about the fact that we can hear God. Sometimes it's not an audible voice, in fact rarely is it an audible voice, and we look at the different ways God can talk to us, but sometimes we just have to concentrate on a Bible verse. So give them a Bible verse, have learned a Bible verse, and then imagine God speaking to you, coming down. And you're just watching it come down and asking God to speak to you, whilst making it very clear that he might not speak to you today. He'll talk to you through other things. And some people actually hear God when they're running up and down the road, or taking the dog for a walk,
or getting to the last stair on the top of the stairs with a pile of ironing.
Yes.
And I came to realise, after three or four times that happening, is because of the motion that I go in with the Lord when I'm ironing, and I realised that's what I was doing. I was going into a depth.
Mm.
That by the time I packed it all up and got to the top of the stairs to go to the airing cupboard, is I was getting my answers.
Yeah. And a lot of people work like that.
Yeah.
We had a huge discussion with the Additional Needs Alliance that I'm one of the co-founders of, with somebody saying, I have ADHD, I can't be still and know that I am God.
Mm.
And then actually saying that's not what it means. What it means is shut up and know that I'm God. And actually, if you need to move around to hear what God is saying, this is fine. Yeah. I would listen a lot better to sermons in church if I could knit in there. So I listen to podcasts or listen to a book knitting, and I hear it much better.
Yeah.
And children are just the same. And sometimes they need something as simple as this bendy stretchy man.
Every party the kids go to, they get one of them, they end up on the ceiling.
Yes.
But there's a teaching point from getting them on your ceiling.
Yeah.
It happened by accident, so I used it as a teaching point. I'm not usually that good at coming up with something at the
straight
drop
away,
of a hat.
Yeah.
The condition I've got makes my brain work a little bit slower. So
notice I stayed quiet at that point.
Well done, husband. But I find a lot of children actually just listen better if they've got something that they're fiddling with. This isn't always safe for all. I gave this to one of our children with autism at church and said, I want you to safety test it for me. I said, can you time how long it takes you to get the head off in a church service? It took him 20 minutes, I think.
It took him a while. It was a bigger one than that.
Yeah, from the beginning of the church service to when they actually went out. He sort of walked off going, got the head off. But it did the trick in that main part of the service before they went out.
I got Kane a chewing pen topper for school because he tends to chew his way through pens and end up with ink everywhere and stuff. And he chewed his way through this chewy pentop part within 5 minutes of having it. So, yeah.
It's not cane proof then.
No, definitely not.
Apparently there are things that are a bit better and they last longer, but they're not that good for your teeth. But I think these are great, but you have to have a health and safety warning with them. I actually used this, I can't even remember what we were doing to start with, but we had some children that had anger issues. They were constantly getting angry. Mm. And so, you know, sometimes we go up in the air and we don't come down and they get stuck up there. But if you wait long enough, they do actually come back down. And some of them were coming back down during the rest of the meeting. And he's saying, you know, just ask God to step into that time where you feel you're so angry, you just go up and ask him to bring you back down again and to learn ways of doing that. And we had another way of teaching that as well. I think I put it in. Because there's lessons in the Bible about getting angry. I'm sure I've got it in here somewhere.
Give us a clue.
The pop-up.
Oh, yes, it's just like a I'm really played with it, just then.
So it's one of those little toys that you push down and after a while they just go up.
Right.
And I've used that to talk about anger with the kids. Because sometimes we need to be where the children are struggling most. Mm. And some of the work I do is with children that have been fostered and adopted, really struggling with anger issues. And this one's not going to work. So we actually got them to push one of these down and pray about the times we get angry. No, it's not going to work. You can have a play.
Thank you.
And it did actually make a lot of the children stop and think. So as we're looking at our Bible stories, we need to be looking at what's that got to do with the price of eggs today? What does it mean to them? How sensory are the children you've got?
Jane's very sensory. Aaron's sensory as well, but not as bad as Jane. I don't know about the other children.
Okay. Would they cope with?
It's more that for Kane, he needs more feedback, not less, most of the time. Lights are the only thing. Lights are the only thing he's struggling with at the moment.
And
at school, he's mainly struggling with as well with sounds.
Yes.
So keeping concentration with the sounds going on around him.
Yeah.
It's probably,
him on
the
that
sound,
one.
Probably the sound from the lights, isn't it? Fluorescent lights.
Yeah.
He says that he doesn't hear that, but
like, you know, things like the freezer, he can hear the freezer and the fridge and stuff like that. And he'll be like, Mum, where's that sound coming from or whatever? And he's heard someone being broken into that no one else heard as well before.
Yeah.
He was going to me, Mum, can I sleep in your bed? I was like, no. He's like, Mum, can I sleep in your bed, please? I've heard someone smashed a window. And I said, Kane, no one smashed a window. You would have heard it. This is before I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go back to bed.
Yeah.
And then the next morning we go out and someone had their window smashed, like, halfway down the street. So.
Well, they say children on the spectrum in other cultures are often revered because they know when danger is coming before anybody else. They hear the rain coming, the storm coming.
Yeah.
They feel it coming. So it seems to be only in our culture where it's looked down upon, which is wrong.
There's benefits to it, but it can be...
Yeah.
Kane, if you ask Kane about sensory processing disorder, he's quite frank with people, because a lot of people ask because no one knows.
Mm.
And he's like, it's annoying.
Yeah.
That's his answer.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, can you tell me more? And he's like, I don't really want to talk about it. It's annoying.
Yeah.
Sorry, but says what, Carly?
It's annoying.
It's annoying. Yes, our granddaughter will say the same.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
It's
very
true.
Yeah.
And then you ask, if you can get more out of him, you'll say, how is it annoying? And he'll say, it's mostly annoying to other people, not as much to me. So he frustrates other people when he's aware of that.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting insight there.
Yeah.
Mm. So would he cope with, if you're talking about calming a storm?
Yeah, you might not get it back from him.
It's a little electric.
You might get it back in pieces.
A little electric.
Yeah.
How does this work?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
If that's the case, then a waving fan works just as well.
Yeah.
And a teeny tiny water pistol. Yeah. Because if it's grabbed out of your hand, less damage can be done.
It'll be less upon you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hide the super soakers.
So all you're doing is, you know,
they'd love this,
really building up that story of a storm where Peter's walking on the water and, you know, the wind's blowing, the waves blowing. Squirt some water. I didn't fill it up. So using something like that is, it's just bringing the story to life.
Yeah.
Or a parachute. Actually tell the story on a parachute. So, do you have a parachute?
No.
Don't get the toy ones that you get from Tesco and that sort of thing, because they've got little holes in them and actually they end up being unsafe.
Right.
If you can get one that's been chucked out from the Air Force or something,
that'd be rather,
you can
rather
get
big.
Them.
You can't buy them.
No.
No.
You might be able to. It's
could
worth having a look
use
on eBay.
A sheet? Just
probably
put
could
it
actually.
Out there,
yeah.
Yeah.
A big sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on how many children you've got, yeah.
Yeah.
So doing it like that.
That sheet usually works well.
Yeah.
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 And there's times I've actually told a story using a parachute where they actually pull it up and do what they call a mushroom, and you pull it behind your head and sit on the edge. So you're actually encased in this mushroom of a...
You're all in this little cosy tent together.
Yeah, and you can tell the story from there. And I've done Philip and his friend.
Mm.
Just forgotten his name. It's where he's sitting under the tree.
Oh, yes.
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, that's
yeah.
it. The Nathaniel story told under the parachute works really well.
Yeah.
So I'm getting everything out here.
You would
yep.
probably know how to get a hold of the parachutes, wouldn't you? Do you use them at school?
Quite a couple at school.
Mm.
Yeah.
Multicoloured ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done that in the showing activity at school with the reception children.
Mm.
So you do that in your PE
yeah.
sessions, right?
Yeah.
Plague of frogs?
a representative frog of the plague. Yes.
We had a friend who was a storyteller who did the plagues, but as he was doing it, when he got to the frogs and he was talking about them getting everywhere, you know, they're in the pots and the pans, they're even down the loo. Everywhere you walked, you squished a frog, and he was making the noises of squishing a frog. So in the end, the kids were actually standing up looking to see where the frogs were. It was that believable.
So, when we did those with the church weekend, we had the children for a first session before the evening meal. So we were going to do the Escape from Egypt. So I thought I had a puppet that was a frog. So I thought a frog would have a really funny voice. So I gave it a voice like that. Short of speech, like that. So I did this with this frog, and I thought, this is really good. You know, the kids are really on board with this frog that speaks like that. Then we sat down for a meal with the folks in the church that we were with. There was a lady on our church, and said, "Oh, hello, you're okay?" And Steve. Oh, dear. I thought,
whoops.
I do hope the children don't think I was taking the mickey, because we hadn't met the dear lady before. Anyway. That's my oops moment.
Sorry. It's all right. I work with kids. What would you use that for, other than the obvious? How could you use that, and what story would you use around it?
Listening story, or listening to somebody's heart, or...
Yeah.
Listening.
Yeah. It's a stethoscope for the recording.
Yeah.
And creation. But the healing stories, yeah. But actually getting the kids to listen to their heart.
Yeah.
So that they have a go with it. I also have a blood pressure monitor, which is sometimes good fun.
How do you hold a stethoscope?
I've got one.
Probably on eBay.
Yeah, they're very easy to buy. Wait, this is my own from my nursing days.
Did you say your dad's got one?
We've got one in my childhood box.
Yeah.
Don't make me throw away.
So sometimes it's just knowing the story you're going to do a week before, thinking it through, and as you're wandering around, you'll find that something will jump out at you and say, I could use that for that. Being trained by Scripture Union, they always said, don't fit the story around. Don't find a prop and then fit the story around the prop. You've got to have the story and then look for the prop.
So the first one, not the second one.
Yeah.
So start with the prop.
No, don't start with the prop. Because
yeah.
They said it's got to be God-inspired and then find something that inspires the children.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but I think there are times where we all look at something and go, I can use that for something.
Yeah.
And then we end up writing the whole story around that something.
Yeah.
But apparently it's supposed to be the wrong way round.
Yeah.
But I have done it like that and it has worked.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it shouldn't be the main thing.
I use a few tricks, conjuring tricks, which are okay, but you sort of, it's very tempting. I've got this trick that I spent this on, I've got to find a Bible story.
Yeah.
But we were doing, I only took one this last weekend, we were doing about trust. And I got a rat trap, and I showed them how it worked with the carrots. You put a carrot in, it smashes the carrot to bits. Then I reset it and said, do you trust me enough to come and touch, and I gave them the pencil, do you trust me enough, do you come and touch the thing on the rat trap? Now, oh yeah, I said, well, I'll take the pencil away. Do you trust me enough to come and do that with your finger? No. That was quite fun.
One did it in the end.
One did it in the end, yes, and he still has all his fingers.
Some of the things with the Bible don't correlate with what they know in their own experience. So, say, the man lowered through the roof.
Yeah.
What they're expecting is a house like this.
Yeah.
How on earth do you do that? And how did they get up there?
Yeah.
So I use a jointed stick to tell the story. It's another Scripture Union thing. And you move this stick around. I meant to put it in my box and forgot.
Oh, right.
So with this box, I can do stairs going up the side of the house. And I said, you think of a house like this and make it into a pointed house. But actually it's like this. You pull it out and it goes to a flat roof.
Yeah.
And it's got stairs on the outside, not the inside like we've got.
Yeah.
So sometimes they need an explanation that it's different to what they know.
Yeah.
And things like, you know, we talk about the bridesmaids or whatever you want to call them. What is one of those lamps? And we picked this up in Greece, didn't we?
I can't remember where that one came from. Yeah.
And we've got an even better one, which is more like an original lamp. So, you know, sometimes it's worth actually looking at what that looks like and building it with them and showing them how it would work and what would be used. And some of it is pretty gross, you know, the sheep fat or something like that.
It works right with olive oil. So that's
It does work with olive oil, but, you know, the different things you could use for that. So trying to explain the context today.
Yeah.
Or else it's really confusing.
Just a couple of practical things.
What have spoons got to do with this? I think most of you will recognise what I'm going to say as I start to say it. Any child with sensory issues of any sort, autism, whatever, have a limited amount of sensory, physical and emotional energy. And if they measure it in spoons... So if you talk to anybody with a chronic illness like myself, we talk about it in spoons.
The spoon theory, it's known as, yeah.
So if you've got this much energy in a day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spoons, okay? It takes one spoon to wash your hair. It takes one spoon to eat your breakfast. It takes 2 spoons to get to school.
Maybe more.
If we get there.
You've only got one spoon left. And what happens when that spoon goes is the balloon goes up. And we get meltdowns. So you might have...
Yeah, quite often that's held in until after school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So parents get
because
it.
Of the constraints there are at school.
Yeah.
And when they get home, it's sort of through the door and the slightest thing and,
yeah.
and
yeah.
bang.
Mm.
Yeah.
Total utter meltdown.
Mm. Kane's is, when he comes home from school, he doesn't want me to talk to him straight away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, give me 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'll talk
it's
to you.
It's good that he recognises that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
yeah.
that's amazing. But sometimes they've borrowed them from the day before. So
yeah.
on a Sunday morning, on the Saturday, they've already used 2 spoons borrowed from Sunday. And it's just taken another 2 spoons to get them to church.
Right.
And the process of even walking through into where you're doing your club has just taken another spoon.
Yeah.
And they have nothing left.
Yeah.
No reserves whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when it's going wrong, it's nothing to do with you. They just don't have... the spoon energy left to actually get through the morning.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter what you do. And in those cases, it's just showing you love them, allowing them to squirrel away where they feel the most comfortable and leaving them there. And that is absolutely fine because you're teaching just as much about God's love by doing that
yeah.
as the spiritual input. So never feel guilty. I try and put that in every time now, wherever I'm teaching, because
it's very useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a cool one. We
can't
use
my problems.
Stopping by the curry store.
Yeah. Buy some more spoons.
If only.
If only it was that easy.
If
yeah.
only.
They're missing in my house. I'm in the garden with them.
This isn't working. We have little stamps that we use for points. So you just do it on your hand.
Charming. Is that one? Yes, I've got a smiley face.
Because it's great fun if you say, I'm going to give them a stamp on the hand. They run back into church afterwards and say, they're just stamped on my hand. But we've told them to say that just to see if they're grown-ups listening. So, but that's just a way of saying you've done something fantastic today, well done.
Yeah.
Or even as a point system. A lot of people don't like point systems. And I don't know where you stand on that one, but sometimes having something that rewards positivity
yeah.
is a really useful tool. So,
do you do that just at the end or during or both?
I do it during, but it depends on what your kids are like.
Would yours like things built on their hands or not?
Yeah, Kane draws on his whole body anyway,
okay.
and Kate and Aaron loves his vows yeah. that he gets at school. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what about Thomas? Would he like something on his
probably,
hand?
Probably, he'd let you know either way.
Yeah.
But if they don't,
maybe he could have a little piece of paper if you didn't want it on his hand.
Exactly,
he likes stickers,
card.
So he really likes getting stickers.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
collects
another,
all. They're all
another option.
Book at
yeah.
home.
Yeah.
yeah.
Carolyn uses well before she became deputy head, but. She used it sort of in her classroom, always had a series of things for different children.
Yeah.
1 year she had 6 autistic children in her class. That was fun.
Mm.
Because she had to find out about each child and had whatever she
yeah.
realised what each of them wanted.
Yeah.
She had a box with. So
yeah.
she knew how they liked being rewarded, how they didn't like
yeah.
being rewarded, etc., etc.
Yeah.
yeah.
Kane's whole class at school
yeah.
is, they're all autistic except him. There's
yeah.
him and one other child who are dyslexic.
Yeah.
So I can understand why her teacher is, that his teacher is stressed.
Because
yeah.
yeah.
just mine on his
yeah.
own, yeah.
yeah.
yeah. yeah.
But that can be done in a positive way as we
yeah.
try with some of the organisation.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, parents tell me what's wrong with your child, but it's... What can we do to
yeah.
help your child
exactly.
settle in best?
Yeah.
You know, what
yeah.
they
exactly.
like, what trigger points do they have, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And make it a positive thing rather than... Oh, no,
the negative
stuff.
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'll just
yeah.
pass around this form that Kate mentioned as an adult kind of feedback. So that would be kind of pass it around. So we could ask all, you know, all the parents to fill that in, just what your child likes, what it doesn't like, you know, what triggers things, what helps if they're upset. That's
just do a song, a quick verse.
If you're allowed.
If you've got time, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah. I had to ask if I could I borrow the guitar first?
Yeah. One of the things. A good guitarist.
I have to take that one off first. I think this one's in tune. One of the things I like doing is Bible stories with songs. Yeah. Oh, somebody plays the guitar. That's cool. Something like the story of Jonah and the great fish. And I was looking at this, and I like to try and look at things from a different angle for the kids. Now, okay, not everybody writes songs, I know, but it's just I like words, I like messing around with songs. And I thought, everybody knows about the story of Jonah and the whale, but nobody knows the name of this thing. So I thought, let's write a song about that. And the chorus goes, I'm the most famous fish in all the world. I'm the most famous fish in all the world. Which is a chorus that the kids can join in and they like. And then I put the verse in, which has got all sorts of puns and things, and so if I can remember the first verse, my story's not a fishy one in films or made up books. To find the truth about my tale, the Bible's where to look. I haven't even got a name like Jaws or Moby Dick. The one thing I'm remembered for is being rather sick. I'm the most famous fish in all the world. I'm the most famous fish in all the world. And so it goes on through the story of Jonah. And the kids don't get the puns and things in the verse, but they remember the chorus. So yeah, there's all sorts of things like that. I don't know who you do your kids like singing or not.
Aaron does, but he's too shy to do it.
Yeah, often we come and say our kids don't like singing, and we say, well, what have you tried them with singing? And they show us, and you think, no, I don't blame them. Give them something they like.
My 6-year-old don't stop singing.
Yeah,
isn't it something we've actually used in their own group time for quite a long time, I don't think, but we could ask them, because obviously technology now, Spotify, YouTube, anything they like.
My boys are really interested in music.
Yes.
Jane and I try and do one, I think.
Yeah.
Normally. So often it's Jesus, You're My Superhero.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Mine can be quite hit and miss with it.
Yeah.
To be honest, Aaron finds taking part in activities, i.e. brushing teeth, etc. If you make it into a song and a dance, he'll do it more willingly. So it works a lot with him, rhyming and stuff. Yeah. Even if you don't sing, just rhyming.
Yes.
We often have an action song in the main worship.
You're
using the YouTube video with actions.
Whose sort of songs do you use on that?
Doug Hawley.
Yeah, he's got some good videos.
Song Kids.
The boys have with the songs at church is that they can't follow the auto cue.
Right.
Like there's words and that, so they don't really know what they are.
But you watch them at home if you showed them at home, so they got to.
I use Spotify at home, but that doesn't have the words with it.
No.
They
have on YouTube because Freya and my kids were listening to that Jesus, You're My Superhero the other day and everything.
There are a few. Yes. Yeah. It's worth trawling on YouTube.
Kane struggles to read a book. So reading something that's moving is not going to happen.
With a moving background.
Even if you pause it,
By
the time he's read that bit, he will have forgotten the bit before.
But if he listens to it on headphones, would he learn songs that way?
He would learn it by ear rather than reading.
So that might be the way, you know, get a little playlist for him at home with the ones that we might sing at church so they're not new.
Another one is Ishmael, of course, don't know if you come across him.
It's hard to find his stuff online, I found, but it's quite...
I think he likes you buying it. I mean, well,
there's a few videos online that his son Joss has done, but not enough.
No.
Yeah, it was great. I remember buying a CD called Wakey Wakey Sleepy Sleepy. I tried to buy it recently, I couldn't find it anywhere.
Direct from his website.
On his website, you can get it from him.
What's his website?
Ishmael.com, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And yes, they like, what's the one about the rich farmer we like doing, because when we'd run a camp on a farm, and he's got a good video with the story of the rich man who said he'd build more barns and build a bigger barn. So that's got a video. And okay. Doug Hawley's got quite a few good ones as well.
Do you know what I used to work as well for the worship at my old church with my boys when they were really small?
Yeah. Yep.
Santa brought them at church my first instrument kit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they used to take the instruments, and when everyone else was singing, they'd play the instruments rather than doing the singing.
Yeah.
And we haven't done that for years, but that's just, that might help.
Yeah, I mean, we have done that from time to time. Yeah, so if they've got anything at home they want to bring along.
We haven't got that anymore, but I could have a look at it.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a tambourine or...
Yeah.
A miracle or something.
Yes, the people leading your worship will hate it.
Yeah, well, we do that at Henry.
All the
children
have a music instrument during all the nursery rhymes.
Yeah.
I mean, kids always love little kids' nursery rhymes and everything, because they rhyme and they scan and everything else. And then we sort of seem to drift away from that when they get a bit older. And then when they're grown up, they stand there, not doing anything at all. But I always think
they're
Aaron's
done breakdancing at the front of the church.
With multi-sensory stuff, we always think, we all have different learning styles or preferences, and we do this with the kids, and then when they become adults, we forget about it.
Yeah.
But as adults, we still have preferences on how we learn.
Mm.
I mean, Kay's more an action one. I'd rather just sit and listen. We're kind of built the wrong way around. It should be the other way around, shouldn't it?
I'm also partially sighted, so I can't
it doesn't help. But we're all different, and I think things like this, which help plug the story in the memory, are fantastic.
Mm.
Sorry, I was interrupting the song. I just
that's fine. Just giving my voice a rest. This will probably drive your son up the wall.
No, he likes
he'd like that.
If he's in control of it, it's different to if someone else is in control of it. So if you give it to another child, it might drive him mad. But if he was playing with it, he'd sit there for hours.
This is a little rubbery, silicon hedgehog, spiky hedgehog.
It's supposed to be a lion.
Glows different colours, is it? It looks like a hedgehog to me.
Yeah, well. Daniel in the lion's den, being courageous. And we did a prayer activity afterwards. But I had some that didn't light up, so if I got any that didn't like lights, they could use one without a light.
Yeah.
And the idea was to actually look at this and think about the things where we needed to be courageous. And sometimes that was just coping with the things that were really difficult, like noise, like so many people around me, everything that's happening at school, where we need to be courageous because things are hard for us. And got them to light it up as they prayed and said amen. So, and they got to take that home to remind them. So... I do come up with some weird and wonderful ideas when it comes to praying. Do you keep a visible diary of what you're doing in the children's programme?
No. Since you told us, we've talked about having something like that, but we haven't implemented it yet.
Mm.
Yeah, because we rent a room, so we can't leave anything in it.
Yeah.
Mm.
We have a big cage trolley that we put all our stuff in, and Jonathan's had the idea of fixing a notice board or a display board to it, but we haven't actually implemented that.
All it needs to be is a laminated sheet.
Yeah.
And
like
blue tack it.
Yeah.
Just blue tack it somewhere.
Yeah.
Using photos of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So just the basics there. So they always know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen.
A lot of schools now, where there are notices around there,
the
widget symbols, all the
Macintosh
symbols,
the
whole
classroom.
I
think they put it, titled it My Daily Planner or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's blank at the moment, but
Is that A4?
Yeah, A4.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe you could have that, because I've already got routines that are on the fridge. So.
Yeah. We've got a whiteboard that's about that size.
Yeah.
Which you can just wipe off and
use.
Yeah, it's just something that says what's coming next.
I've got a bigger one at home.
that I'm not going to be using now that I've got them on the fridge.
Yeah.
But especially if you follow a normal routine and then once some differs up for some reason, it's got to be different.
Mm.
It's great if it's there so that they're not
too
surprised by by something.
Mm-hmm. But go with, I don't know whether it's photos, just letters or pecs or symbols.
I've been using pecs at the moment.
Yeah.
What's
a pec?
It seems to work better. I don't know what it stands for.
It's a line drawing that's got colour to it,
okay.
And the symbol stands for something.
Okay.
It usually has the picture of the action that you want, and then underneath it will say the action that you want,
right.
In one or two words.
Okay.
I've got some, but it's not on there.
They
only work on an iPad, and I don't find iPads very accessible, so... I've got that at home. I should have brought it with me.
Kane often objects to anyone verbally telling him to do anything, and will go out of his way to do the opposite.
Yeah.
So I found that just having the PECS cards around the house and saying, "Have you had a look at that?" and then leaving him to it means that there's a lot less conflict, and he actually goes to do it himself without me having to say anything.
Yeah.
A lot of the time now as well. So it might help, because he's the same as at church. I think it might help.
Produce something just for church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just remember, just remind him to go back to it.
Yeah. This is useful. It looks really boring at the moment. But if you've got an activity you want to time, if you say, for the next 2 minutes we're doing, that means nothing to many kids. So... when this timer, filled with different coloured gels, has finished, that's the end of the activity.
So it's an egg timer type thing in a clear plastic case with different coloured blobby things falling down. Yeah.
Very
restful watching
that. But it gives a visual representation of how long we're going to do this activity.
Yeah.
We found that very useful.
Timers work for some children and some children they don't.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. They're all different.
Yeah.
I know a woman who's got a child with ADHD and autism, and they suggested that she use timers because of the problems she was having.
Mm.
And it made it an explosive household.
Oh dear.
It had the opposite effect to what they wanted.
Yeah. Well, as I've been saying, it's dependent on the kids you've got.
The advantage you've got, the summers, you've got the same kids each week. So once we work out what works,
we
can pass that on between each other.
I've just brought a few things that I've used. Playing cards for praying. So if they get an ace, they pray one thing. If they get a king, they pray another thing. If they get the jack, they pray. So they do it like snap.
Okay.
So as soon as that one comes up, the first hand on says the prayer for that card.
Yeah.
But you only do it for the jack, queen, king, ace.
Right, that's the numbers.
And I've only done it with half a pack rather than a full pack.
Yeah.
So... okay. It's just a nice active way of praying if you just want to get them to do something about praising God.
Yeah.
I've used bubbles in the same way. Sorry prayers for bubbles is absolutely brilliant because it's gone.
So you blow a load of bubbles in the air, and when they burst, one they say a prayer.
Yeah. About sorry. If you want to take it further, you can with that one, depending on the level of some of the kids. And when we do that with older kids, we talk about the stickiness that's left behind. That although God forgives and chooses not to remember that wrong, there's always a residue left, which means, you know, there's a consequence.
Yeah.
Here on earth, there's still a consequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. With older kids at camps, we've done things like had a paper shredder. If they want to write a sorry prayer on a piece of paper, then you put it in the shredder.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is a nice visual way of doing
that's
that.
A good idea.
Except one camp, we didn't have a shredder available, so I promised them that if they screwed it up and put it in this black bag, I wouldn't read any of it. We'd stay in the black bag. And then on the last day of
bonfire.
Camp, we had the camp bonfire. And they said, you know what's in this bag, don't you? Mm-hmm. Right, you know where it's going on the bonfire.
Yeah. Big cheer from all of the children.
I think it would help with the bubble one with Kane, because he says to me a lot, well, you're supposed to forgive me, you're a Christian. And I'm like, well, I have forgiven you, but that doesn't mean that...
There isn't a consequence.
Yeah, there
yeah.
isn't a
yeah.
consequence,
yeah.
and he doesn't quite get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did the same, actually, with black sugar paper this weekend. We had a boy that would react if you asked him to write anything, so we changed it at the last minute. So they scribbled on the black paper with chalk, and they said their sorry prayers as they were scribbling, and then to remember that God forgives and chooses not to remember it anymore, they got an eraser and they rubbed it out, but it still leaves a bit of a white mark on there.
Yeah.
And we taught them that exact lesson using that. So there's lots of different ways of doing it. Just some useful stuff that's out and about that you might find helpful. Has anybody seen the Accessible Bible? Okay, this is the Bible Society of Europe that have produced this. It's in the NRIV, I can't remember what it stands for, but what it means is it's got very short sentences. So for people that struggle with reading or reading's their second language, it's much better to have very short sentences. So they do that. It is written on grade paper instead of white paper, so you've got less glare. It's a size 14 font. It's a clear font. It's got line drawings. This is not for kids. Some kids would look at this and say this is for kids that are a bit thick, to use their words. But it's written for anybody that would just find it easier. Every time I take them somewhere, I sell out instantly.
It's a sans serif font. There isn't a margin down the middle like there is in some Bibles. It's done so it reads straight across like any other book that you'd pick up. And the paper, as well as being slightly off-white, is also thick.
So it doesn't bleed through
from the other side.
Can I feel it?
You can have a quick look, that is only the New Testament. They are working on the rest of the Bible now.
It's smooth as well, because the thicker paper, Cain doesn't like the feeling of the grainy paper.
Yeah, pass it around so folks can have a look.
Have you come across the Diary of a Disciple?
No. I'm going to say of a wimpy kid then.
Yeah, it's based on that. Apparently it's really good. I've struggled. I can't read it.
Oh, that's like the Tom Gates book, so it's
so
very graphical.
Yeah.
But
they
doodles all the way through.
Yeah. So I've struggled with it. But every child I know has loved it.
All right.
But they're now doing teaching material with it. So a week-long teaching material you could actually use over a few weeks, Sundays. And some people take the holiday club material and use it over quite a few weeks.
Yeah.
I think they're working on another one now. So that's Luke's story and that's Peter and Paul's story.
Okay.
Really good, really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can actually leave those with you.
What to? We can buy them.
No, I'll leave them with you.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. It's Scripture Union give me freebies, and when I finish with them, I give them away.
So this is a Scripture Union publication.
Yeah.
So it is Luke's Gospel done in this style.
I'm not quite sure. It's telling the story, but it's written for 8 to 11s.
Yeah, because you're just very up to seeing Tom Gates ones.
Very
into reading loads of them.
Yeah.
You take it to the
library. Yeah. Aaron loves reading as well. Kane isn't interested.
Is he like it?
If it's got lots of pictures, he's
probably
happy
like
with
that.
It.
Perhaps like this or the comic Bible.
Yeah.
Jane.
Yes,
there.
I've got those, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I can't read them, but...
Yeah.
So I'm always fighting for kids with visual problems because they can't actually see anything. Have you come across prayer labyrinths?
No.
Usually it's just where you put your finger around something, there's only one way in, there's only one way out, so there's no catches to it. I've now got some tactile ones that you can put your finger around. A lot of schools now use them for mindfulness, and I'm all for nicking anything that a school uses that we can actually use gospel-centred.
Yeah.
And just getting a child to think about what they've learned, putting the finger around it, sometimes it's really calming.
Yeah.
And for others, this sort of thing where you've just got the little ball that's going round, I find it infuriating, but because I can't do it. Some children can listen while doing this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's worth investing in some simple fiddle toys. I haven't brought my multi-sensory box with me, this is just storytelling stuff.
When I was at school, I used to doodle all over my paper.
Yeah.
And I used to get told off left, right, and centre by my
mum. Pops those in
there. They help me concentrate.
They're horrible things.
Oh my god, I used to doodle over.
Yeah.
It's not that on my carpet, it's glass.
Yeah. I think with that, you might stand a better chance of getting rid of it.
Yeah.
But drawing actually is an excellent way. If you've got a child that's really struggling to listen, get them to draw the story while you're talking. And we had a 5-year-old that was constantly drawing all the while that we were teaching this weekend.
Yeah.
And she was drawing the story. But that's how she connected.
Yeah. So that's why
struggling
Cain,
to encourage Cain to draw
stuff
that's biblical.
Yeah.
He'll draw anything else. But he won't do that.
Both.
But then if you...
But
if
is he still listening while he's doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can get him to draw animals or things like that, if you can make that biblical, then that might
animals
be
of the Bible.
Is it? You can't do Noah's Ark every week.
No,
you?
But...
Yeah, there's lots of stories with animals in them, though.
Mm. There's snakes, aren't there?
Yeah.
Talking donkey,
though.
The Miracle Maker... film clips that seems to work very well.
Yeah.
But it might be, even if you can't do it obviously forever, it might be a way of introducing it in a way that he likes to then bring it onto other biblical subjects.
Yeah.
If he gets enough praise, I'm sure he'd want to.
Or even if you know you want an animal next week, could you draw me one of these, you know, ready for next week or something?
I'll finish this bit now. I know you probably have a few questions, but I'm a naturally shy introvert and I'm constantly telling stories all over the place and I love telling stories. So whenever I do training on storytelling, I say, if I can do it, anybody can do it. I like using props because you can hide behind them. Or getting the kids to do things while they're doing it. But there is still power in just sitting down with a book and reading a story. You don't have to be fancy. We had 19 rather boisterous kids this weekend sitting there with their mouths wide open just listening to a story read to them.
If it's a gripping enough story.
Yeah,
sometimes it can just be the atmosphere, something can culminate in just the perfect listening atmosphere and the kids will all engage, even the ones that have just been absolutely mental the previous week.
Yeah.
It can come together and just always work. Just work.
Sometimes Cain will just want to lay there and play with his hair and stuff in the group. Someone's hair or the
bear
is
each week.
Yeah.
We had
so
nine this week.
Time.
Yeah,
to sit and
just read.
Yeah.
To
other times when he's running around in circles and stuff like that,
or
it's not a good idea.
There isn't always an obvious reason why
someone eats.
is okay some weeks and not others, or generally speaking, you know, sometimes you get the class's attention, if you like, and other times it seems like a real struggle, and there's no obvious reason, it's just, that's the way it is,
yeah.
Always has been,
yeah.
And always will be.
At the end of the day, they're children.
Yeah.
So, but I just want to encourage you that actually just what I was hearing, you're there really. You're doing a good job.
Yeah. Trying our best. Yeah.
Well, the essential is the love for the kids.
Yeah.
And you're wanting to make a difference. And to get an email that says, I want to do something, compared to the hundreds that I get that want to know how to exclude the child.
Yeah.
Your email in my inbox on that first email was a joy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So you've got the love for the kids, you want to make a difference, you're there.
Yeah. I think if we did excluded them in our church, we'd have one left in the group, I think. So.
Well, we have a friend who ran a young people's group for, and a lot of the kids in it were autistic or on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And he said, this car drew up and a lady got out with a boy and came and said, oh, there's a youth group here. He said, you wouldn't be able to take my child in, would you? And he said, I was conscious behind me of absolute bedlam going on in this youth group. And he said, when I said, yes, of course, the woman nearly broke down in tears. She had so many no's from other people.
Yeah.
He said, yes, of course your child will be welcome.
Yeah.
Come in.
Yeah.
This way he says, he'll fit right in.
Yes. Yeah. And so often kids, you know, who have autism, or as Kay said, she often gets phone calls from people in churches saying, you know, we've got this child and he's disruptive and this, that and the other. And we're how can we best suggest that they find another church that's more suitable?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but literally that happens, you know.
Yeah.
And you think, what on earth is going on?
Yeah.
And the other one, how can we, can you come and teach us how to restrain a child? And Kay said, I could, but I'd love to start a bit further back.
Apart from the fact I'm qualified to restrain, but I'm not qualified to teach it.
Yes, and how, you know, let's see what gets you into asking this question in the first place. So we got through some various things, and we said, you know, please let us come and chat this through with you. But they never came back to us.
Her leaders were intent on not allowing the child to come back.
They just wanted an excuse to exclude, which...
quite sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad, but we should be the opposite.
Just in case you were wondering, this is
broken.
I need to buy new ones.
Yeah.
It's been overused. Creation, it's all dark. You just wait until everything settles. It's all dark, and then God says, "Let there be light." But the light doesn't work.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So the stars come out,
once
and the light lights up.
Yeah.
So
you just get these all over the place, or
I go against Scripture Union's advice, and I look and go, I could use that for.
Yeah.
I've always got a story in mind.
You can Google sensory.
Yes.
Or autism.
But it's going around like in the
shine.
Is it Tiger or something in Haymarket? Is it Tiger?
There's a Tiger shop.
That sort of place has got all sorts of things which are. Usually much cheaper than the proper sensory ones.
Yes.
Much cheaper than Spiggles.
Yes.
And would you say we had been using Urban Saints for the sort of 70s for a number of years? We realised it wasn't really appropriate. So, in terms of a theme or a series of stories, or you know, if we use these techniques, could we use one of their syllabus, or just use different methods of telling stories, or what do you do with groups like
that? Find one that you're comfortable with, but don't use all of their material.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just use the theme that runs through for a few weeks, but just say, okay, they're wanting us to teach this thing, because I think they say this is the theme for the day.
Yeah.
And then look at it yourself as to what you want to put in and use to do that.
Yeah.
But so much of the material that's out there is made for middle class reading kids.
Yeah.
you know, and a lot of us in churches have got kids that don't read,
yeah.
And from a different side of the fence, if you like, and it's what
work.
Is there for them? You
yeah.
really have to just adapt what's there and,
yeah.
And make it work.
Yeah.
Mm. Unfortunately, publishers aren't interested in publishing things for children that need something different.
No.
Yeah.
I've tried.
There isn't a demand for it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Seems backwards, doesn't it?
Like, yeah.
Who are we trying to reach? The ones that are already inside? Or
yeah. Yeah.
I've had this conversation so many times.
Yeah. So, any other questions from anyone before we wrap up? Okay, well, thanks very much, Kay and Steve, for coming and sharing with us. And it's been good to be inspired and get some new ideas going. And, yeah. So,
as Kay says, if we can do it, anybody can. So
yeah.
It's just a case of that this is built up over
yeah.
over years.
Yeah.
26.
So, yeah. But
yeah.
feel free to contact us again if you want us round again or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I tried this and it didn't work.
Yeah.
What else can we do?
So, obviously, this was primarily to encourage and inspire Jonathan, Jane, and me, who are currently doing that. And if the rest of you would like a turn, or maybe to help, just come in and assist us 1 week, that would be much appreciated.
Can I take a photo of your box of delights?
Yes.